anyone in here now not get a copy of this that I handed out a few weeks ago? Mark put that one on the wall, so I don't guess we'll have to have one with us, but it's good to take that home with you. They're trying to modernize me. I'm probably the only one that's still back in the dark ages. So I'm getting computer up and all this stuff like that. But I appreciate that. That'll help us. Like I was telling you last week, we've looked at this lesson before, but I'm going through it kind of different than I did before, but I want to refer to that as we go. And like I've said many times, I think it'll help you to get a good understanding of where you're at in the New Testament, what grace is. Brother Mark, he's teaching the young college career type today. He's showing grace in the Old Testament and grace in the New Testament. And he's brought some things out there that I'm anxious to look forward to myself and reading his notes and looking at it. And then when we look at grace in the Old Testament, grace in the New Testament, grace in the Old Testament is usually, it has some words beside it like found grace. But it's like I was saying last week, people will say there was no such thing as a dispensation of the grace of God. But I tend to disagree with that, because the Holy Spirit, like I said last week, the Holy Spirit, He's always been there, true. We know that. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson. The Holy Spirit was there. And they found power from the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, except I go away, he will not come. And everybody that says that to me can't answer that. Why did he say that? Because he's coming in a different ministry. His ministry. And you know what his ministry is? Right here. Those green on that chart. And then that rapture takes place and something's going to change, right? And we'll look at some of these scriptures as we go. I've taught this lesson today many times in this class here, but if you will, I want you to mark your Bible or ask for a copy of my notes or something. I'll try to get them. I want you to remember this. I hate to go over things I've been over so many times, but how many times did you go over your garden? When you're out there planting something, how many times did you go over it? How many times did you till it? How many times did you hoe it? And I'm going to till it and hoe it till I quit hearing people say it. So that's just a simple, this is the hope of righteousness. And as we teach this hope of righteousness, I want us to look into this chart as we're doing it. And I want to look at some subjects and then look at the time periods like we're talking about before. Now, let's start in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4:13. And we've been there a lot of times in this class, but I want us to go there today. And I'm going to read one verse, and I may go back and read some more there. But he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. All right, then when he gets over into some complicated things. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Make sure I'm in the right place here. All right, go back. Let's go back to 4:13. It said, but I will not have you to be ignorant Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And he starts off here telling these people are concerned, and you see that clearly over in 2 Thessalonians. They think they've missed the rapture or don't know about the rapture. He seems to have told them about it, and somebody's teaching a different resurrection, and they think they've missed it. And he said, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And then when you go over to 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to find that, verse 5, 2 Thessalonians 2:5. I don't know why I wrote something else, I guess. But it says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Right? It says, and now you know what withholdeth. If he's told them that, he said, and now you know what withholdeth. And we know that's the Spirit. But I want you to look at what he's told them. He says right here in verse 5, let's start reading in verse 3 and read down. Let no man deceive you by any means. Somebody's deceiving them. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Right there. Iniquity, Babylon, whore. He's always there, and he's got a bride. But right now, he's a mystery. The mystery of iniquity. And it already works. But the whole says, remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know. Okay? If he told them and they know, why are we arguing about it today? I don't think they're arguing about it. Go to commentaries and look. And one says it can't be the Holy Spirit. It's got to be just the church. If it can't be the church, it's just, that's when the beast is removed or whatever, then come on. Let's go back and see what he told them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, but I want you to watch what he told them. And he's bringing it to their attention. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's at the rapture of this church at this time, right? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. As I said a few weeks ago, he did not receive that from the disciples. He had a completely different message. He received that from God himself. He said, I received that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he received that from. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, why are you worrying, folks? He said, I told you before I would not have you to be ignorant about these things. He said, now you remember I've told you these things. Now watch, that's what he's told them. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, look over here in verse 7 of chapter 5. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what we're going to talk about today. How many times, men, did you hear someone use that scripture or talk about the hope of salvation? Well, I hope I'm going to make it. And there's churches that teach that. Well, you're not going to know till you get there. That's not what he's talking about. And we're going to look at that today and look at that chart while we talk about that. He said the hope of salvation. Salvation has a hope, doesn't it? What is that hope? The previous chapter. Don't separate the chapters. That hope is that when he comes after us and we get that glorified body. That's what he's hoping for, and I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. That hope, all right? He said, for God hath not a... I love all this. I've got to go back and read all of it again. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We're to put Christ on. He's our hope, folks. But there is a hope of salvation. All right? For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Do you see that? God hath not appointed us to wrath. See that? There's somebody that's got wrath to come. That rapture right there is going to take us away from that wrath. And then you got the judgment of nations. You got the judgment of Israel during the tribulation period. Israel will be judged. Revelations 5 through 17. Why just 5 through 17? Because the rapture takes place in 4. That rapture. So he said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what? If you're going to look at that and not put it in its right text, people will say, well, I got to obtain salvation. We are saved by the grace of God, baptized into Christ, but we're still in this old flesh. You realize that? Now we're going to go back, and I want you to, hope we got time to go through them all. We're going to look at the hope of righteousness. Now this is Paul's writing, and all this you find in Paul's writing, all of it you find right there. And that green, that's where you find that. Brother, it's a different time. I don't like pointing that thing. If you take these, that's Jesus. He's done it all in everything. He's the head of everything. But when you take this out, what are you going back to? Israel again and judging Israel. Now, you got the Old Testament saints here. That's showing resurrections. But you got some judgments and you got some things coming that's got to be coming. Then you got the judgment of that whore in Revelation chapter 17. It's just like Brother Ernest brought to my attention. That's a good point. I guess my mind went flipping around. I'm going to clarify what I said last week. If I take my Bible, now some people will argue in Acts chapter 8 or Acts chapter 9. I go to, a lot of people say Paul because they make grace come in by Paul. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and he chose who he would and would by his will to get it done. And I go to chapter 8 because that's the first place that a person is born again by hearing the word of God, the eunuch. Right? Now, there's other places. There's saved people everywhere, but I'm looking right there. That man didn't hear nothing. He said, but what? He said, I don't understand what I read. He said, how can I let some man show me? And somebody took the Bible and showed him how to be saved. Amen? Somebody cared enough to take the Bible and show him how he could be saved. And he was. And he said, what hindereth me from being baptized? And what was he told? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then I've seen Bibles that are right out to the side and say scholars omit this verse. That's because they believe in baby sprinkling. And a baby can't believe with all its heart. Amen. We'll go on. But you see, if I take my Bible and fold it in Acts chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 1, and I do that right there, I have got a complete book to the Jews. Yes. I've got the sowings we've talked about so much. The sowings are kingdom of heaven. They're not the church. There's great, wonderful, spiritual application in that. And have yourself a time preaching it when you're preaching spiritual application of those sowings, because the Word of God is like those sowings. But like I said last week, we got a period of time where John the Baptist came and he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Jesus explained the sowings. He said the first seed fell by the wayside. The wayside's a path. The second sowing was Jesus himself. And he said that when tribulation arose, that was his definition of the second sowing, not mine, Jesus's. He said when tribulation arose, because of what? The word. They left it. He said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and life. He said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. Many went away. That's the second sowing, doctrinally. The third sowing is in Acts 1 through 8. Well, till Stephen is taken care of in Acts chapter 7 in there. That second sowing, Jesus' definition of that sowing, the cares of this life snuffed it out. They was offering the kingdom of heaven. If you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and what it says about the kingdom of heaven, that's the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. And when you read your old books about the kingdom of heaven, there's no rich and there's no poor. Remember where we come through that in Job? There's no free enterprise. Honest. It's a kingdom. It's a kingdom of God. Okay? And he ruled. And they offered that kingdom in Acts. And then people said, uh-uh. Ananias and Sapphira was one of them, wasn't they? The cares of this life snuffed it out. And you know that snuffs the gospel out just more today than it as it did, as much today as it did then. So you can apply it to the church spiritually too. Spiritually apply it today. The fourth sowing, and I've said this so many times, the fourth sowing is in Revelation chapter 7. And he said, touch not the earth. Why? Because he explained that parable, and it ain't a parable, it's, you know, he's using the illustration there. He said, it fell on good ground. He said, touch not the earth till I've sealed in the foreheads. They're getting on out of there. It's heating up, ain't it? But he said, touch not the earth till I've sealed in their foreheads. The 144,000. And look at multitudes were saved. So that's the sowings of the kingdom of heaven. And people think just because you teach that, you're taking something away from the Bible, that you're taking Jesus. No. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven run parallel in Christ. They did. They was right there parallel in him because he's everything to it. He's all and in all. He's all of. And you'll see on that chart, that's the same way. But where were we at before I got into that? Galatians 4, 5 through 7. Let's turn there. And we're going to quickly look at these scriptures on the hope of righteousness. And you'll see it. I know you will, because I know you believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you'll see this. Galatians 4, 5. All right, let's start reading in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now watch this wording carefully. That we might receive the adoption of sons. All right, now go on down to the next verse. And because ye are sons. Are you saying that we might receive the adoption of sons? And you are sons. that sons receiving the adoption of sons. All right? And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir. A son, and then an heir. What did the father say to the son that stayed home? All that I have is thine. Thou art forever with me. I hear about this. I hear preaching on that. And you know you've heard my babbling about that. I hear preaching on that son that stayed home and they kick him around. The father did not kick him around. I'm not saying he was pleased in him, but I'm saying you better watch those words he used with him. Because you're not going to run around and whore around on God, then come back up here to the altar and everything's hunky-dory. God will forgive you your sins, but in this flesh you'll pay the debt. Amen. That son came back, and when that son came back, he said, Thou art forever with me. All that I have is thine. He didn't say, You've always been with me. He said, Thou art forever with me. All that I have is thine. You know what that man done? Sir? No, I took it away. Took it back. He said, All that I have is thine. Thou art forever with me. I mean, that's, what more do you need? He's just showing the grace of God to the lowest sinner. And that chapter is about the Father. All right, Galatians 4, 5 through 7. To redeem them who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now keep this in mind as we look at these other scriptures, because this is all Paul's teachings in different books. Sons of God, adoption in the Old Testament is not the same as adoption today. Adoption at that time was not somebody going out and getting another son and bringing him in. Adoption was son placement. A son could be in that family, and he's a son. That's what he says right here. Because you are sons, right? All right? And then they receive the adoption. They would take that son into the marketplace or into the public place or in the gates of the city, and they'd proclaim him. As Jim might do Brian with his business there, he might have said, This is my son. His signature is my signature. He was son placed. He was just as the Father, buddy. What he said to any servant went when he was son placed. Okay, that was adoption. All right, now let's go on. Let's go to Ephesians 1. See, this helps us to understand a lot of different things. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, if I don't believe it like I just read it, then I believe in, if I say that I'm adopted now, then I'm predestined to be adopted. That's Calvinism. That's the verses they use. And they'll say, you're predestined to be saved or to be lost, and then there's no need to witness. Then God's got this one, and he's got not taking that one, and he's got that one, and not taking that one. But if all babies are saved, what age do they come predestined? They can't handle that because they're not handling the Scripture. But if you put this in its right order, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, I am saved, not adopted, born into the family of God, waiting to be adopted. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought of that the other night, and I said, I'm going to teach this one more time. They'll tolerate me. I'm going to teach it one more time, as many times as I've taught it. Buddy, I'm waiting on the hope of righteousness. I'm not waiting on the hope of... The hope of salvation is the hope of righteousness, which is a glorified body. If you're looking at that chart and you're looking at, you'll see that. And it all belongs right in here. Those resurrections and those judgments and those mysteries that was given unto Paul by the Lord. The Lord gave them to him. Now look at Ephesians 1:14. Which is the, all right, let's read 13. In whom ye also trusted. Now watch this, okay? Something comes first. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see that? After you believed, you were sealed. Read it again. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. Earnest is what? That's a down payment, ain't it? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. You see that? There's some son placement that's got to take place. Paul's not changing his mind in any book. There's some son placement that has to take place. And what is your inheritance? Heaven? Yeah? But what? To be like him. We're joint heirs with him. If we're joint heirs with him, he owns everything. But we're joint heirs with him. We're going to be son placed. He's going to take us to the Father and say, here's my bride. And me and my bride are one. That put cold chills on me. Amen. All right. 1:14. Oh, Lord, I get lost. Ephesians 1:14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It's all about him. But which is the redemption? We're given the Holy Spirit until the redemption. We've been redeemed, haven't we? But there's a part missing of it. That body. Okay? Now let's move on. Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit. Now this is where your church of God, and I love these people. I tell you, I went to that gun class to get a concealed carry, and that boy was a Catholic, and I thank him for praising God as much as he did, even the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't agree with that man's doctrine a bit more than nothing, but I tell you one thing, he's not ashamed of the Lord. Something's got to be in that heart. God don't make cookies. We're not all black and cream in the middle. God's got his children where he wants his children. And we don't like to admit that a lot of times in the independent Baptist. But there's some saved people out there, brother, that's trusting Christ. And a man will bring honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to a life that God requires them to live. I'm going to be careful to judge him. Amen. Or oh me. I'm going to be careful to judge that man. I'm not going to put him. I'm going to let God do his part. Amen. So Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit. You see that? Now what did I just read you a while ago? We've given the earnest of the Spirit. Haven't we? We've received the earnest of the Spirit. So through the Spirit, we're waiting for something. God's given us patience and helping us to endure in this old world because we're waiting for something, right? For we through the Spirit, and he put himself in that category. He's a saved man when he said that, right? Wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. People will read that scripture to you and show you that scripture and say, you don't know you're going. You're waiting for it. No. I'm in Christ already. Amen. Paul was, wasn't he? And he's waiting for something. All right. There's something he's waiting for. For in Jesus, all right. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. All right. Turn to Philippians 3:20. All Paul's writings, getting it in the right dispensation. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lifestyle is in heaven. We're in Him, and we're waiting for Him, and we're looking for Him. He said, comfort one another with these words. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. In the first letter to Thessalonians. Then the second, he says, remember, I told you all these things. We're not, he said, you've not been appointed to wrath. You're not going through the tribulation. The resurrection's not past. These guys are getting your book, he's telling them. Get in the book. Somebody's not getting in the book. They're enduring to the end and all this, and they're using these scriptures, and they're not following through with all the scriptures, okay? So we look for it, we wait for it, and in Colossians 1:5, we hope for it. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So, for the hope which is laid up for you. What's laid up for you in heaven right now? It ain't Jesus. He ain't laid up. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Right? We'll go on to a scripture in a minute that'll remind us of that one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what's laid up for you. Now, don't quote me on this one, okay? But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am there, you may be also. And people say, oh, he's got me a mansion in the corner of glory land. No, he's prepared me a body just like his. That's my house of this tabernacle. I don't need a bed. I don't need a pool and a garage in heaven. I don't need a mansion. People argue over where he's saying rooms or mansions, don't they? And they'll argue that for weeks. But what do I need with a garage, Melvin? What do I need with a bed? There ain't going to be no night there. What do I need with a roof? The sun ain't going to beat down on me. It's what he said in Revelation, didn't it? The Son of God is the light. What do I need with heating and air? It's a perfect climate, just like Adam had, the first one. Hallelujah. That's what he's got laid up for me. Argue about rooms and mansions all you want. Look for that holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Yes, I know that, but I'm not going to be laid up in the corner of it, okay? Because I don't need to. I won't get tired. And I won't get sick. And I won't have heart problems, Melvin. I won't be going from the hospital to hospital to hospital, to doctor, hoping one can do it. Because I will be like him in a body that he's created for me to be like him. What better hope can we have? And what better hope can we have than to meet our loved ones in the air? People say, well, you don't going to know them. You don't care. Come on. Come on. Get real. Read the Bible. He said he'd bring them with him. Yes, he's bringing them with him to unite that house that he's paid. That's real. He's going to reunite all of them. He's going to raise them graves too, buddy. We sleep in Christ, but the graves will open. How he put that body he prepared in heaven in it, I can't explain that to you. There's a lot of things I can't explain. But he's going to do it and bring it out of that dirt. And he said, I'll bring them with me. Wouldn't it be something to have a loved one lost like these people were, and then somebody come back with them? That's what it's going to be. That great detective in the sky is bringing them back, brother. Devil thought he had them. And he thought he had them. Think about that rapture. He's trying to grab that one, that soul. Gosh, I thought I had that one. But God said, no, you can't hinder it, nor can you prevent it. That's what prevent means. It means to hinder or go before. And the devil can't hinder it, and we're not going before it. Amen? Folks, this is exciting. We got to get out of here in just a minute. So we have eternal house. That's an eternal house. So I see that as what's laid up for us, okay? I don't need a mansion. I can't get off of that. I don't need a mansion. I don't need a new automobile. Man, I got the river of life. We don't need beds. We don't need a couch to sit down and rest. You're not going to have a bigger mansion than I got because we're all going to be like him. All right? You might in the millennial. So it's an eternal house. In 1 Corinthians 45, I want you to look at that. 1545. 1 Corinthians 1545. And then we're going to end, when that bell rings, we're going to end with the scriptures that just defines it all. 1 Corinthians 15. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You see that? I have a spiritual resurrection and I have a spiritual birth. Because I'm right in here. I have a spiritual resurrection and I have a spiritual birth. You see that? I'm born into the family of God. I'm not adopted into the family of God. I'm born into it. I'm born again. As the song says, born again, free from sin. I believe it's a lie when they say I'm happy night and day. I ain't happy night and day. But still yet, I'm born again. All right? So, I don't have time to go through all of these scriptures. But when you see that, the next verse there, 45, and then you go on, talking about that first and that second man. So then, now, verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Right? That's that rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, as we shall be changed. For this corruptible, watch this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. And you've heard me say this so many times, and like I said, I'm going to plow that row one more time. It's when and then. We've all been around death a lot, and it has a sting. And there ain't a thing you can do about it but just try to comfort people. It has a sting. You can't take a person who's got a soulmate that they've had for 50 years and bury them. They're killed. They're dead. Their soul is almost, why, Lord, they're beat down. But when and then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then will be brought to saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The devil thought he had victory, didn't he? When he put that old preacher, Dwight L. Moody, in the grave, I bet he laughed. I bet when he went to the grave, he said, I caused you to die, buddy. Back there in Adam, I got you. But he ain't going to grab him when he leaves and goes up. He thought he had him. But there was no victory in what he done. There was no victory in him. One more verse and we're out of here. Romans chapter 8, and you know that I was going there, didn't you? Now, you've seen all these scriptures that we've put together this morning. Paul said he wouldn't have us to be ignorant concerning them that sleep. And he said, you know, I told you these things. So you go back to 1 Thessalonians and find out what he told you. All right? Now, look at Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read 5 or 6 verses and we'll get out of here. Remember how many times during these scriptures we saw that word, our? Watch this. Verse 15. He told them he wouldn't have them to be ignorant, but watch what he's telling them here in Romans. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. We receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Are you listening to that? I got you. We are children of God, waiting to be adopted. All right? And if children, then what? Ours. Ours of God. And join ours with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Which shall be. That's that predestination we looked at over in Ephesians. They shall be. All right? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth, we saw that word too, for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see that? We were waiting on it. We were looking for it. The manifestation of the sons of God. Why can't these churches see that and quit putting salvation in the hope of righteousness? Why can't they? Why can't somebody get up in their class? I would do it if I could, but they won't let me. I'd love to show them that and say, look, God's taking care of you. Just believe him. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. All right, you listening? That we're not hoping to be saved. We've been subjected in hope for this. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Remember 1 Corinthians 15? Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, Which have what? The earnest of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Need say no more. That's what we're waiting for. And you know, we've all got loved ones. Brother, I look back at your daddy used to sit in this class all the time. He used to get up here and open this class. We'd be reunited together. Just as sure as I'm this word. And why can't people see that? Why are people going around and taking those scriptures and saying, oh, I hope I make it. I hope I endure to the end. Taking the Jew in the tribulation period, trying to endure to the end. They're just not reading the book. If you would sit down without trying to build a foundation under what you already believe and read the Apostle Paul's writings, you would see eternal security and a dispensation of the grace of God. Where God himself said, only my blood will be the propitiation for sin. Only my son will be redemption. Only my son. Only his son. So redemption is not a hard word. Propitiation is not a hard word. Redemption is the payment, and propitiation is the payment accepted. God would only accept that payment. What makes people think they're going to live that life and think that when they live it, they're going to get up there and God's going to accept it? A lot of them's going to be saved anyway. I honestly believe that. I've run into some of them who believe in him, they trust him, but the devil stole their victory. Just like I said, when he put that old guy in the grave, he said, I got him. Death got him. I got old Adam, now I've got him. But brother, he's got something to learn. Ain't he? Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. Bless in the next hour. Give our preacher liberty and freedom to preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.